Find Voices Inspiring the World. I'm your host, Alba Mireles, and I'm absolutely delighted to welcome today's guest, Michael Harrington, author of the books titled The Inner Keeper at the End of the World and A Love's Here and Are Made of Silk. We're here to celebrate your creativity and explore the world you crafted in these books. Thank you so much, Michael, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin by getting to know a little bit about you. Can you tell us about your background and what led you to become a writer?
I was born in Philadelphia. As soon as I could construct a sentence, I was putting them together. I was putting words together, sentences together. So I was writing short stories, little short stories. I mean, three sentence short stories in early in grade school. And I just kept writing and I just never stopped. I wrote through prep school, through college.
So basically you start from a young age. And so basically these books, you made it through based on your personal stories or where they came from?
Oh, no, they're not personal stories at all. As to where they came from, I don't really know. Sometimes a little germ of an idea will stick in my head and I keep journals. I just keep journals with ideas and thoughts and lines and things. And then something will just strike me, and I'll develop it into an outline, and then I'll do a rough draft, and then I'm off to the races.
Okay, and for the book, A Love's Here Are Made of Silk. The title is so unique and poetic. Like, what's the story behind this book and how the idea come to you?
I have a Labrador Retriever. His ears are incredibly soft. They're made of silk. And so that is where the idea of the story came from, really.
Okay, and what emotions or themes were most important for you to explore through this story?
Well, in A Lab's Ears Are Made of Silk, it's a story about the search for self. The lab in the story gets in trouble and runs away from home. The boy he lives with whispers to him, A Lab's Ears Are Made of Silk, every night. So he runs away intent on finding out whether his ears are made of silk, and if so, does that give him worth? And he goes through a sort of a Wizard of Oz type thing. He meets a sanctimonious guinea pig and a belligerent turtle and his arch enemy, the alley cat. And along the way, he learns self-worth.
Okay, and what was the biggest creative hurdle you faced while writing this novella? Like, did you face any challenge where you were writing this?
Yeah, the biggest challenge was I've never written anything that was for this. Lab's Ears Are Made of Silk is generally for middle graders. And I've never written anything that wasn't for adults. Adults, so far, have enjoyed A Lab's Ears Are Made of Silk, but it's not written for adults necessarily. So I've never done anything like that before. So that was brand new. I had to run that across a bunch of different moms to see if it would pass the test. But
it passed. Okay. And on The Inner Keeper at the End of the World, like this story, what inspired the concept behind this story?
I thought of the absolute worst thing that could happen, which would be driving and hitting and killing a child. And I thought that was the worst thing that I could think of that would just be something you would just never get over. The family would never get over. Nobody would ever get over it. And so that became the basis for the innkeeper at the end of the world. A little boy is killed, and in a hit and run, and the drunk driver goes to the mother's house. The two of them know each other because as children, they were in a cult together with their parents. But they never acknowledged that. But he gets drunk and goes to her house to console her. And instead what happens is that they fall in love. And so they have this
plot twist, right?
Yeah.
In this story. And the title hints at big themes, like maybe ending, solitude, or hope. Like, what core message or feeling do you hope the readers can have after finished it?
What feelings do I?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I mean, The Innkeeper at the End of the World is sort of both an existential love story and a tale of fate gone awry. So, I'm not sure. Peter and Zoe, the two main characters, are unreliable narrators to begin with. You start to like them, but you also realize that she was a terrible mother, you know, letting her little boy walk around at night on the roads, and he's just a terrible drunk who's given up on life. So I don't know. I guess I'm just giving the reader a journey.
A different journey, right? And your work often explore moments of light and darkness, choice and consequence. Like, what does that between space fascinate you?
I don't know how that could not be fascinating, to be honest. You know, the push and pull between light and dark, and actually the area in between those two extremes. I don't know how that could not be fascinating.
And like, the short stories can surprise even the writer sometimes. Like, have any of your characters evolve in a way that you didn't expect?
Yeah. Zoe in The Innkeeper at the End of the World, I didn't expect to like her. Because she was a terrible mother and an unreliable narrator, I didn't expect to like her at all. I didn't expect to write so much about her that some readers of the book have said that they liked her until they got 3/4 of the way through the book and realized she's terrible. She's awful, you know? So sometimes that just happens. And in short stories, I publish short story books. Those usually don't surprise you because you sort of know the whole story in one one burst.
And you've worked in both short stories and long stories. How do you decide whether a story become a novella or something else?
Well, a short story, like I said, just sort of comes to you, the whole thing. You know the beginning, middle, and end, and there's no need to sit down and write out an outline or anything. You just sit down at the computer and write the story. And novellas are the same way. They're just more developed short stories, longer, obviously, than a short story, but they're just more developed. They give you more opportunity to develop characters and themes and things like that.
And every writer, I think, sometimes face like a block at some point. What keeps you motivated when the writing gets tough?
I decided in the late 90s that I was going to write every day. So I would get up an hour earlier and I'd write. So I got into that habit. And so with very few exceptions, I write every day for 3 hours. I get up at 4:30 in the morning and I write from 5:30 to 8:30. I'm self-employed, so I don't need to really start my job until like 9. So it's just the habit. If you get into the habit of writing all the time, of just writing, even if it's bad, you're just writing. You know, sometimes you're writing something and you're like, oh, this is awful, you know? But if you're just writing and writing and writing, you never get blocked. And I've never had writer's block. Nobody believes me, but it's the truth.
And you wear many hats, like author, editor, publisher, even like, I think, musician. And what's the most rewarding part of living a creative, multifaceted life?
What's the most
rewarding thing? Because for me, you're a very creative person, and then, but it's also a challenge to, you know, being all of them, like self-employed, author, publisher.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the writing is just, it's just the writing for me. Everything else is just something I have to do, you know, in order to get my books out. I'm always looking for an agent too. I'm always looking to go the more traditional route, but I'm not going to sit around and wait, you know. After a certain amount of rejection letters, I just go ahead and publish it on my own, you know. And I book little book tours and independent bookstores and give little readings and stuff like that.
And looking back, is there a moment in your journey that made you feel, yes, this is what I meant to do?
I don't know. I think every day when I write, I know this is what I was meant to do.
And there's any advice for those ones just starting out? Like, there's a piece of advice that you want to offer to them? They are hesitating to publish their books or start writing.
If you want to be a writer, you need to write, and you need to write all the time, and you need to write just constantly, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. And if it's bad, when you're finished, then throw it out and start writing something else. Just always write. Always keep your mind open. And the more you write, the more your mind opens up to it. Also, writing in the morning, supposedly, your mind is more open in the morning. Also, you don't get any phone calls that early in the morning. I don't have email on my writing computer. So there's no distractions. So to anybody who wants to be a writer or working towards it, it's just keep on doing it and do it every day. Just like guys who want to be muscle bound, go to the gym every day. This is the same thing.
And there's any new stories that are you working on that you can share with our listeners?
Yeah, I'm working on a new novel now called Is It Dark Where You Go? And it's a murder story involving three sisters. That's kind of all I can say right now, because it's the first draft is written, and actually the second draft too. But yeah, it's still sort of developing too, as well, and as always.
Okay, and finally, for anyone inspired to read your work or following your journey, where can they find your books online or connect with you?
They can find my books on Amazon, and the Kindle versions as well as paperbacks. And they can go to my website, michaelpatrickharrington.com. And you can order the Kindle or the paperbacks. And if you order the paperbacks, I'll sign them. You know, so.
Okay, nice. So they for this paperback signed, they need to go to your website, or it can be on Amazon as well, right?
No. In order to be signed,
your website.
Yeah, because Amazon just ships it from their warehouse. If you order it from the bookstore, from my website, I'm the one doing the shipping. So.
Okay, perfect. And Michael, it has been a pleasure having you on Authors Radio, and thank you for giving us a glimpse into your world and sharing your passion. And listeners, be sure to check his book, and thank you for tuning into Authors Radio, amplifying voices, inspiring the world. Join me next time for another inspiring conversation. In the meantime, happy listening.